Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This coming weekend, the Labor Party National Conference in Sydney will be formally debating the contentious issue of gay marriage. As the conference is being held, family and marriage groups will be holding a major demonstration next Saturday in Sydney's CBD, and the Australian Marriage Forum has organised a national online petition aiming at securing 100,000 signatures to hold the line on marriage being between a man and a woman. We'd like to hear from you tonight on this contentious issue. What's your view on this entire debate? Gay marriage, have your say. 1300 40 20 20 or post on our Open House community Facebook page. We're open to all tonight. Do you support or oppose gay marriage? If so, or if not, why? Simple as that. 1300 40 20 20 or post on our Facebook page. Now, the Prime Minister's position is to oppose any change in the Marriage Act, and more recently she supported a conscience vote in Parliament. Now, if that happens, those in the Labor Party who oppose gay marriage will be free to vote against it, and the Coalition, it seems, will inevitably also be against it. So any move to pave the way for gay marriage will be defeated, it seems. A man at the forefront of this whole debate has been Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby, and he joins us now on Open House. Jim, welcome.
Thanks very much, Lou.
Jim, how are you gauging the temperature of sentiment inside the Labor Party on gay marriage?
Well, I think it's a really conflicted issue for them, because the reality is that they have been dragged to the left on this particular issue when they have, for so long now, prided themselves on being in the centre, and arguably it's the centre from which they've managed to get government. And so I think there are a lot of people very nervous about this, but unfortunately you have a hard left, a rainbow Labor, who are more like the Greens than Labor, and they're determined ideologically, no matter how little political sense it makes to drive this line.
But there are still strong supporters of marriage within the Labor Party.
Yes, there are. But I'd have to say the support for it is not as strong as it is in the Coalition side.
Okay. Were you surprised, based on your discussions with Julia Gillard, that the Prime Minister went with this conscience vote for Labor, which, as I said, would likely defeat gay marriage in effect in the event of it coming to a vote in Parliament?
Well, I think you've got to see it in the light of what's happening within the Labor Party, because the reality is that they're really, in essence, trying to hold the party together through this issue. And
this
and
is
others.
Not the only issue.
No, that's right, and yes. Others that they're going to face, such as uranium. And so the offer of a conscience vote, if this comes to the Parliament, it's important people realise it's not about a conscience vote at the National Conference, it's about if this comes to the Parliament,
yes.
Is that it is hoped to stop the left from demanding that there be a vote on this at the party conference, and that we might see it become part of Labor policy that marriage might be between any two people.
And the implication of that is that if it becomes binding on Labor Party members to vote in one certain way, they have to do that or they're expelled.
Well, that's right, in fact. If it becomes party policy and if the Prime Minister actually enforces that in the Parliament, that would be the case. So, it's a very fraught issue for them, because it really makes no political sense. You know, they're abandoning the centre ground from which Labor has always done best historically, and which certainly the most recent success has been.
Do you believe Julia Gillard is personally opposed to gay marriage? And it's not the only issue where it's really quite uncertain where she stands. The News Limited columnist Peter Van Onselen believes, and here's his words, if she was strapped to a lie detector machine, she would not pass if she claimed her opposition to gay marriage is driven by personal convictions and not base political survival instincts. What do you say to that?
Look, it's really hard to know, Lee, I have to say. But what I do know is that in two meetings that we've held with her, with the nominational leaders this year, she's been adamant that her personal position is that she supports marriage between a man and a woman. And certainly more recently, she has said that she supports it because of the benefit it is to children. Now, do I know for sure? No. I mean, we're dealing with someone here who, while I find a very warm and genuine in a one-on-one situation, and certainly I know the denominational leaders did, that nonetheless, she is the Prime Minister who said that there'd be no carbon tax under a government that I lead. So it's very, very difficult. But I think you shouldn't underestimate that she did have have an evangelical background. She certainly rejected that. She's right up front about that. So where she sits on this, of course, counterintuitive when she's in the lodge with a partner, that she would put a great store in marriage. But, you know, I really don't know. But yes. There's both sides of it.
And that's before all of the events of the last week, of course. Mm. What's your understanding of how the coalition is positioned?
Well, the coalition, I'm assured, will keep this as a party vote. So the party policy is that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I'm told that one reason that the party is looking at keeping that way, despite, you know, some fracturing of people within the party, is that they've made that promise and that they see the integrity required of that to require them to keep it a party vote.
You've got no assurances?
Well, I have indications, very strong indications from people at reasonably high levels, but and that's as much as you'll get in politics. But,
I was going to say, that's the problem with politics, especially as they are now, with how fluid they are. An assurance here or an indication of an assurance doesn't mean things are tied up.
No, that's right. Well, you've got to allow them to go through their processes too. I've written to Tony Abbott. And I've asked him to give us an assurance of this. But all the indications I get from talking to people in the party are that it will remain a party policy that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, that, of course, would mean that it would be defeated if a conscience vote was brought forward early in the new year. And I tend to think that that's what's happened. I will happen. I tend to think that the Greens will manufacture a conscience vote. That will be for them, even if they realise that they'll lose it, it will be to allow the activists to recognise those people that they've got a target to bring across on the next conscience vote. And what people have to realise is that a conscience vote is really dangerous. And we certainly don't want to see this hanging around the parliament. It's like leaving a loaded gun around the parliament for the Greens to fire. You've only got to look at what they've done with euthanasia in all the states. I think South Australia is up to its third or fourth consideration of euthanasia in almost as much time, because the Greens are simply bringing it forward until, and I call it legislation by fatigue, people get sick of wasting parliamentary time on these things and end up passing it.
Jim, why is it that you believe marriage is only for a man and a woman?
Well, I believe that, you know, it's clearly ordained by nature, even if you're not a Christian, but certainly we believe it's ordained by God. And it also provides, without doubt, the best environment for children. And we need governments that hold up ideals and vision before the nation. And if we're in a situation where we can't hold up an ideal, so clearly an ideal for children as marriage, then I think we're in a really sad place. And so we've got to stop trying to come to some lowest common denominator all the time that suits everybody. And instead, we've got to require of governments that they set ideals and vision before the nation. And this is really an ideal, certainly, but a necessary ideal that we need to hold before our nation.
Apart from your Christian conviction, why do you say it's ordained by nature?
Well, it's only by a man and a woman, you know, coming together that you can have a child, you know, and there's no doubt that the purpose of marriage over the years has been to provide that commitment in the family, the parents, that would provide and guarantee as much as you can. We've lessened that guarantee by no-fault divorce, and we've all seen the results of that, but certainly to try to guarantee a child the best opportunity in life.
How do you gauge the public response? There's the latest Age Nielsen poll showing a growing majority of Australians in favour of gay marriage, 62% most lately, up from 57% a year ago. There's a bit of a shift there.
Yes, but the Ambrose Centre did commissioned a study just last week, which showed that a much smaller percentage of people actually believe that this should be done now. You know, in other words, they believe that this is such a big move that, and I think it was around the 26% mark, who actually believe that we should be doing this now. There's no urgency in the public mind to do this. Even GetUp's polling of its own constituency, which you would have to say you would expect to be really in favour of this, has listed this as the last on their priorities, you know.
Do you believe it's inevitable?
No, I don't. And you've got to remember, there are only 10 countries in the world. There are 196 nations in the world. Only 10 of them have actually passed this law. And so we're being presented with this as if it's inevitable. And I might say, too, that one reason that the polling goes the way it does is because every time people are asked the question, they're considering it in the context of the propaganda that's been put out about gay couples or homosexual couples actually being discriminated against. Now, there is no substantive discrimination in entitlements to homosexual couples. We had in 2008 over 80 laws amended so that discrimination was removed. So that is no argument, but it's still the context in which people answer those polls.
Jim, do you believe beyond the national conference debate that's going to be held in the coming week, do you expect this issue will eventually come to a vote in Parliament?
It will certainly come to a conscience vote in Parliament, I would say, if, as we expect, you know, the Labor Party will grant a conscience vote, because the Greens will manipulate that to happen. But it will be done in order for the activists to identify those people who are against and for them to identify who they think they can target. And because these people are targeted with vitriol, I mean, I know myself, you know, and it's if you're distant from it, it doesn't seem that hard to take. But if you're actually involved in it, it's terrible, you know, the sort of vitriol. And so if you subject parliamentarians to that, then they've got a reasonable expectation that they'll be able to turn them, you know. So I think, you know, we need this not to go to a conscience vote. We need any party, whether it's the Liberals or the Coalition or Labor, to see this as a matter of principle, you know, that it's a matter of principle that this foundational relationship in our society should be maintained. It shouldn't be perverted by 1.5% of the population, or as will be the case on overseas precedents where this is being granted, 0.2% of the population will actually take this up. Now, I think as a matter of fairness, which is always the issue quoted in this issue, that as a matter of fairness, you know, that those people who hold strongly that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that's obviously most of those people of 19% who go to church every Sunday, it's 19% of the population, and if you add on top of them all the people who may not be religious but for cultural reasons believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, you must have at least 25% of the population hold this strongly. Are we really going to throw this over, you know? So 0.2% of the population can take this up. Now, I think any political party that doesn't hold that as a matter of principle, given the unfairness of actually overturning this, really has some deep questions to ask of itself.
Jim Wallace, thanks very much for joining us on Open House.
Thanks very much, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.